chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. That is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. And the title of this evening's sermon is God's Word. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and if you have it, it reads, "As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now the purpose of the commandment is love, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith." May the Lord bless the hearers and doers of his word.
Acts chapter 17, 28 through 30. "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said. For we are also his offspring, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. In the times of his ignorance, God winked at, but now command all men everywhere to repent." Amen. Let me see. Tonight we're going to embark on a series of lessons directly from the scripture. We're going to walk ourselves through the Bible from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation on Sunday evening, starting on this night. Tonight, you want to try and cover the book of Genesis from chapters 1 through chapter 11. The Hebrew scriptures have often and always began, no matter what man has had to say, begin with the beginning. It's often begun with the creation. Genesis 1:1, we know that Jesus was both present and active in the creation. And during his ministry on earth, he told us that Moses wrote the whole creation story. It was Moses who wrote it. Luke 24:44, he asked the question, "Don't you know those things that Moses and the prophets wrote concerning me?" In his first lesson, we want to review Moses' recording of the creation. We want to review Adam and Eve, sin, population of the earth, and the flood and the Tower of Babel in chapter 11 of the book of Genesis. From the very beginning of the book of Genesis, Genesis 1 and 1, we find that God created all things. All things he created, and in 6 days, God created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that live therein. And on the seventh day, we find that God rested. In the beginning of this lesson, I want us to understand what happened on each one of those days and maybe try to reconstruct those things in our study as we continue to study God's word. Look back into the book of Genesis and look at those days and see if you can remember what happened on each one of those days, because each one of those things plays a significant role in what man seems to think about who God is or who God really isn't. Plays an important role in atheism and pantheism and all those things that people disregard as being God. On the first day, the very first day, Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 through 5, God created light. He divided the light from the darkness. So there was no light at all, and God created the light. Now, when he created the light, the darkness just fled from it. What a wonderful thing it is for us to come into a room and have the light come on. God created light from darkness, Genesis chapter 1. It was the first day. The second day, God divided the waters by creating the sky in Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Waters were created and waters were divided by creating the sky or the atmosphere. He separated the waters from the sky, the firmament from everything else, separated those things. On the third day, he separated the earth from the seas. He caused the earth to grow grass and trees, and each produced seed after its own kind, grass and tree, Genesis 1, 9 through 13. First day was light. Second day, waters were divided by creating a sky. The third day, he separated the earth from the seas, caused the trees and the grass to grow, and they produced seed after their own kind. The fourth day, God placed the sun, the moon, and stars in the heavens. I want you to think about this creation process and what God was doing, and not necessarily how he was doing it, because he is God. It's just amazing for me to read and understand those things that happened, and each one of those things, he took a day, which we knew nothing about. Day wasn't even created at all. He even created the day, and we overlooked that. In this fourth day, God placed the sun, moon, and the stars in the heavens. Think about that. Fourth day. Before the fourth day, there were no sun, no stars, no moon at all. It just wasn't. The fifth day, here comes the fish and the birds. And he caused the fish in the seas and the birds of the air to multiply after their own kind. Chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. Before the fifth day, there were no fish. There were no birds. And it kind of reminds me when Hurricane Katrina was getting ready to pass through here, Category 5 hurricane, you never saw any birds at all flying in the sky. The sky was there because it was already created. The sky was created already. But there were no birds in the sky at all because God hadn't created them yet. The water was there, but a fisherman would have been out of luck, wouldn't he? There were no fish in the sea because God created that on the fifth day and caused them to multiply after their own kind. And on the sixth day, there's a lot of commentary about the sixth day that God created the animals that lived on this earth, including man. And man was made with an eternal spirit. He was made in the image of God, and he was given dominion over the rest of the creation. So the birds were there, and the fish were there, but there were no animals at all walking along the face of this earth. Not a one. Not even man. So it was on the sixth day that God created all those animals that lived on the earth, and he created man on the sixth day. And on the seventh day, he rested and blessed the seventh day as a Sabbath, holy unto him, a day of rest. So you see, in the beginning, we find that in 6 days, God worked. He worked, he worked, and he worked. And he created all those things, and man still looks inside of himself and try to replace the creation of God with science. But the book of Genesis defies all of that. And one thing I want you to understand that the Bible gives us a more clear view of that sixth day. I want you to remember what happened on each one of these days. Most of the time, remember what happened on the sixth day, the first day, and the seventh day. But all those other days in between, we don't realize that, because on the first day, he created the heavens and the earth, and I'm sorry, he divided the light from the darkness. God said, let there be light. We remember that, the first day. Remember the sixth day, because that's when man was created. And remember the seventh day, because it was a day of rest. But all these other days have their importance in the biblical writ and the history of God and who God is. And we're going to attempt through this series to walk you through the Bible step by step so that we can remember what God's word has to say to us. And we can teach it without any hesitation. But after giving the overview of creation, we find that Moses gives more detail to the sixth day of creation of man and woman. God made first the man, Adam, by breathing life into the form he had from the dust of the ground, Genesis 2, verse number 7. And he took woman and made woman from a rib taken from Adam. And Adam and Eve became husband and wife. And I want you to As you look into the scriptures, I want you to realize something. Let me just read this to you, because it's incredible to me to realize that. In Genesis, let's go to chapter 2, in verse number 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Not a drop of rain was on the earth either. But there went up a mist from the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now here's what I want you to understand. Most of the time we read about God creating man, and in my mind, as I've read the creation story over and over and over again, in my mind, as I'm reading that, I had a preconceived notion that when God made man, that man, he just was in the Garden of Eden. But that's not so. Because the very next scripture tells us, in our learning, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and he put the man in whom he had formed. So the garden was created after man had been formed, and God placed him in that garden. Because before, his habitation was simply outside of the garden. So God made a sanctuary just for man, that he might come and walk and talk with him and fellowship with him in the cool of the day. And he called that place Eden. And out of the ground, God made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the middle of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pisan. That is which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. There was gold in the Garden of Eden. And the gold of that land is good. There's delium and onyx and stone. The second river, the river Gihon, the same is that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. But you think about where Eden was now, where God planted the Garden of Eden. Along the Tigris and the Euphrates River in the Mesopotamian Peninsula is where it was at. And the name of the third river was Hiddekel. That is which goeth toward the east of Assyria, and the fourth is the river Euphrates. And the Lord God took man and put him in the garden. You see that? He put him in the garden to dress it and to keep it. In my mind, often and always, I always thought that when God created man, he put him in the garden. When he was creating him, he was just made in the garden, but that wasn't so. He's made from the dust of the ground, and God formed Eden and put man into that garden. And as we read these things, we want to point out these little small details to you so you can understand where we are when it comes to the creation story. Among other trees, Eden had a tree of life, a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God told man not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because God gave a death penalty for disobedience of that sin. I want you to understand that people are going to ask you questions about Adam and about Eve. And they're going to ask you questions basically concerning Cain and Abel. And the question is, you know, when Cain killed Abel and God banished him from that area and put him in a different land, people say, where did all those people come from? How did he get to go and be threatened by other people when there was only Adam, Eve, him and Abel? Where did those people come from? How are we going to answer that question? These lessons are structured so that we can understand those little things and be able to get those little pearls out of there and teach people that in the beginning, God created man. And in the beginning, it doesn't say that he created just one man. So what are you saying to me, Brother Collins? This is what I'm saying to you. You can answer that question from the book of Genesis chapter 5. God doesn't, he doesn't mix words. Genesis chapter 5, verse number 1 says this. This is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. See, it coincides with Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created man in his likeness and his image. In verse number 27 of Genesis, it says the same thing as verse number 2 of Genesis chapter 5. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. There it is. He called their name Adam in the day when they were created. All man was Adam. That's how you answer that question. That was their name. Mankind. Adam. So where did Cain go? Where were all those people? They were the same place that all the other people were. When God created man, he created all mankind. Amen. But Moses tells the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But we fail to see that. We just kind of overlook those things because in my mind, we have these preconceived notions. And people are going to ask you those questions. There's your answer right there. Male and female created he them at the same time on the sixth day. Day number six. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Seth. And some people miss that because they say that, you know what, since Cain killed Abel, then we all sons of Cain because there was only Cain left, so we all sinners because of Cain. I actually heard somebody said that. But they fail to realize Genesis chapter 5 says that they had another son. And that's where the lineage came from, you see, the lineage that is Jesus Christ. Right here from the story that Moses had to tell about God and man. But that story is not complete because the story is chocked with sin. So when we talk about sin, sin came in the form of a serpent. And that serpent lied to Eve. He told her she would not die if she ate the fruit of the tree. And he told her that her disobedience would make her to be like a god. Boy, and that was pleasing to Eve's ear and to her eyes. And Eve went for it and she disobeyed God. She ate the fruit. And Adam, her husband, was standing right there beside her and she gave him some of the fruit to eat as well. Adam and Eve's sin made them ashamed. They tried to hide from God, but God appeared to them and asked if they had eaten the forbidden fruit. What's incredibly remarkable in this book of Genesis here is that Adam and Eve both admitted to their sin, something that we just simply don't want to do in this day and age. God looks at us and he asks us to repent of our sins, admit to it. There's nothing else that we can get. An example from Adam and Eve. We can get that example that they admitted that they had sinned. They admitted that they knew they had sinned and they were ashamed of that sin. But we don't even blush when it comes to sin. But the Genesis record tells us that the first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve, they were ashamed of it. And he had to pay a penalty for that sin. He told them they would eventually die and their bodies would return to the dust from which he had formed Adam. At the same time, God cursed Satan for his deceiving Eve and Adam. And God told them that they would face difficulties. Childbirth and growing of food would be their punishment for their sin, as well as being driven away from the garden, from the presence of God. Because if he had held it in that garden and they had eaten of the tree of life, they would have been filled with punishment and death for the rest of their lives. That's the grace of God we find in Genesis 1 as well. So Adam and Eve had children, Cain and Abel, both brothers, sacrifice to God. Cain did not do well in his sacrifice. But God respected Abel's sacrifice, but not Cain's. And because of his jealousy, Cain killed his brother Abel, and God cursed Cain. We find life in the book of Genesis, and we find death by murder in the book of Genesis. At the hands of those who were brothers, living in the same house, eating the same food, having the same parents. So what went wrong? The same thing that's going wrong today, the cycle continues, is sin. We find life and death, and we find also the resurrection of life in the book of Genesis as well, because the promise of Christ was instilled even at that point. So Cain went out from the place where he lived into another land inhabited by other descendants of Adam. And Cain also lived and married and had children. And he continued populating the earth as well in Genesis chapter 4. Each day that God created had a purpose. And each story that Moses tells has a purpose. And when we read the scripture, we need to look into those things and realize all those small pearls that are in there can help us to understand the story of God more perfectly if we take our time and read those things. We read over them, but do we really read them? It helps us to get a better understanding. Moses tells us that men and women live extraordinary long lives, especially by today's standards. And I imagine it was for the purpose of populating the earth. Because, you know, you can't live 10 or 15 years and expect to populate the whole earth, everybody living 10 or 15 years. Methuselah lived 969 years old, Genesis chapter 5. And after the flood, the pattern of long lives continued, but the length of their years decreased after several generations. Shem lived to be 600 years old, and Terah lived to be 205. What a stark comparison. Some 400 years less. When it comes to Methuselah, some 300 years less. Because God had promised them that, you know, you're going to live, but we're going to shorten your days because of sin. And what grace that is that comes from God, because why should we have to live year after year after year in sin? Sin. The book of Genesis tells us all of that. And because man lived in sin, and as the world was populated, God saw that wickedness was great and that the thoughts of men were continually evil every day, Genesis chapter 6. And there was a man named Noah. And Noah was the only one found with his family to be a just man, Genesis chapter 6. And God placed specific instructions with Noah to build an ark. Build it. And God placed into that ark male and female of all the land of all living creatures. In addition, here's what we learn. It wasn't just two by two. In addition to those animals, he placed seven pairs of land animals and fowl which could be eaten. They were loaded for food and to have male and female to repopulate the earth after the flood. So 7 days after everybody had entered the ark, man and animal alike, water fell as rain from the sky and came forth from the fountains of the deep. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. The entire earth was covered up to a depth of 22 and a half feet. Genesis chapter 7. All the earth's land animals, including all people, died in the flood, except those that were saved in the ark. So we have day number 6. And day number 6 was negated by rain. If you remember, before day number 6, the Bible says there was not any rain at all, even on the earth. And in day number 6, God made man and all the animals to inhabit the earth. And here in Genesis chapter 6, all of them were wiped out by rain. They were cleansed by the water of the flood because of their sin. After 150 days, the waters began to lower. And Noah sent a raven out to determine whether the waters were going down. Then he sent out a dove. And at first the dove returned for rest, and later it returned with a leaf from an olive tree. and finally it never came back, Genesis chapter 8. After a year and 17 days, Noah and his family went out of the ark with the preserved animals to populate the earth once again. Noah left the ark, built an altar, and worshiped God, Genesis chapter 8, and verse number 20. But God corresponded, and a lot of things people miss as well. People still think that the ground is cursed as a result of Adam. But that's not so, because the book of Genesis characterizes that as well. God responded after the flood by lifting the curse of the ground in Genesis chapter 8, verse number 21. He also made a covenant with Noah and all succeeding men and animals of the earth. And the covenant was that God would not destroy the earth with the flood again. As a token and a seal of the covenant, God created the bowl which he put in the sky, which he continues to show each and every one of us today. I want you to notice what I didn't say. I didn't say rainbow, because the Bible doesn't say rainbow. See, God placed a bowl in the sky. You see, we added that on there, a little rain action. He placed a bowl in the sky that we might remember his covenant, that he may never destroy the earth again with water. And we get to Genesis chapter 9. Noah and his descendants go out to populate the earth. And we find in the plain of Shinar, in the land of Shinar, that people had only one language. So they gathered together in the land of Shinar to do what they wanted to do, make their own bricks and their own straw, and they're going to build a tower up into heaven because that's what they want to do. Remember, sin was heavy now upon the earth. It was populated by man, and man did his own thing. So they plan to build a great tower to reach into the heavens, and God says, let's go down and see what they're doing. He came down and he confounded their language. He divided the people that they couldn't even understand what each other was saying. And the people were scattered all over the earth, because that was his command, to go and populate the entire earth. But they didn't want to go and do that. They wanted to stay where they were and build a tower up to heaven. And with that, God was not pleased. So God confounded their language, and the people were scattered all over the face of the earth. Genesis 1 through 11. In Genesis chapter 1, we find that God made man. In Genesis chapter 11, we find that men were scattered all over the face of the earth after death had come in between them and the decision to do what they want to do. You see, the flood simply wasn't enough. A lot of people are simply not convinced that God is who he said that he is. They want something different. They want it to be according to their ways and to their standards. But in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And Moses writes for us the opening of the most popular book that ever was penned. It's the book of Genesis, the record of man's beginning. I want to tell you tonight that one's beliefs about the book of Genesis reflects to a great degree his belief about the inspiration and authority of the Bible. The doctrine is the inspiration of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for works of righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And because the Bible is God's inspired revelation, it has authority over man. So no matter what man speaks about, God spoke man into creation, and he is greater than man. His word has greater weight than that of man. Doesn't matter how many pronouncements of education you have. It doesn't matter what your age are. It doesn't matter what you think. The book of Genesis says that God created. And when people get in their minds that science and all these other things that they invent have nothing to do with God, they've crossed a bridge into thinking that takes them down a road far away from God. But beginning with the book of Genesis, it can take you to where God is. It can allow you to know who God is. Sometimes when we cross that bridge, we'll never be the same until we repent and retrack our steps back down that road again. And that's what these lessons are all about, so we can retrack and retrace our steps from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, and we shall remember the things that God has done for us. The things that we have done to God, and how God, in his kindness and his grace, still allows us to live and breathe and have our being. The book of Genesis is the beginning. But we don't want to just reinterpret it as some local flood. We don't want to reinterpret the Tower of Babel as just some myth or whatever else people might want to say. God is. And if we believe in the inspiration of the scripture, then we ought to accept the very words that come from God and examine every word in the text that we might see what the meaning of it is and believe that inspiration of scripture that forces us now to do the work of understanding what the revelation of God is saying to us in our lives. We must understand them, and they must be clear. They must be accepted as truth in our lives without regard to what scientists might say or modern philosophers might say, but to what God and his word says. Because in the beginning, there was God. And today, God still is, and God will be. That's the book of Genesis from chapter 1 to chapter 11. From the beginning of creation to the Tower of Babel. Our next lesson is going to be introduced with a man by the name of Abram. God calls us to understand his word. And when we take time to read it, we can understand it and accept it in our lives. He calls us to understand that his son Jesus Christ came to die for our sins, and that we need to believe that he is the Son of the true and living God, confess Christ, repent of our sins, and be baptized in water for the remission of those sins. Satan is on his job, but God has a plan for us. That plan is to live in heaven with him. We can help you tonight to repent of your sins.
There's a fountain. Let us haste, oh, haste to its brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
Amen. This evening, as we have anyone here that needs to partake of the Lord's Supper, make an indication of raising your hand. Amen. You please make your way forward. At this time, yes, sir.